Welcome to Career Tools. Today's show, How to Eat Lunch, Part 1. Here we go. Well, you've been telling me for a long time that I shouldn't use my hands when I eat lunch. I should bring my food to my mouth as opposed to my mouth to the food, right? And belching is socially unacceptable. So I just assume most people here know that. So I guess I've just given away the entire show, right?
Yeah, you have, pretty much. Yeah.
So folks, this may not make sense to a lot of you, us talking about how to eat lunch, but the fact is we do it almost every day at work. Most of us do, at least. And if you take a full hour, that's roughly, what, like 10% or maybe even 15% of your day as a manager or a professional. Right. That's a huge part of your day. And for many of us, our approach to it is rooted in how we had lunch at home as kids or in school, perhaps. And that makes no sense for busy professionals like us today.
Yeah, if your boss takes a 45-minute lunch break most days between 12:30 and 1:15, because at his level he can control his schedule, you know, should you eat then, right? Or should you eat at a different time? Should you have a big meal? Should you have a small one? Should I work through lunch at my desk? I think that's probably the biggest solution that so many people have, right? I'll just eat real quick here at my desk. But look, lunch at work is like email, folks. We learned how to eat before we became professionals, and we learned how to communicate before we started doing email. And in both cases, we probably have some bad habits that are worth taking a look at. And if you take a step back and look at it holistically, there are probably some smarter ways to go about handling what you can think of as your lunch hour, which probably isn't an hour anyway.
Right.
So we actually have 9 recommendations.
Does that include the ones that I already said at the beginning or no?
Nine. The whole eating with your hands thing. Yeah. Number 1 is take a break, meaning yes, we recommend you leave your desk. And number 2 is leave your desk. Number 3, you still have to be available. There's a couple of ways you can do that. Number 4, in a lot of cases, not always, but a lot of cases, we recommend you bring your lunch. Number 5, we do recommend you eat healthy and probably less than you're used to eating, particularly if you go out every day at lunch. Although that's not true for everybody. Some people are smart about it and are eating healthy already. Yes, you can eat throughout the day. There's a lot of science which suggests smaller mini meals throughout the day works as well. We do recommend you eat with others. And we've talked about that before. We recommend you be respectful. And lastly, we've talked about this as well before too. We recommend you use lunch to build your network periodically. And by the way, I have to say, we'll talk more about network, but I just read an article which said, don't network. One of the secrets of billionaires is don't network. And it says basically create relationships irrespective of what you're going to get from them. And you will then have a rich life by having people you care about around you. I thought, wow, I said that. We said that 5-6 years ago.
Yeah. Your first point, take a break. I mean, it reminds me of something I've seen a lot of recently. I wonder what you think about this idea. People are talking about this idea of energy management versus time management. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't agree with the energy management versus time management idea, only because I think they're two separate things. First of all, as we've said before, you don't manage time. Time's been doing fine without you managing it for, I don't know, since the beginning of time, I guess. But I think priority management and energy management are both smart things to do. I think one of the things that the energy management folks talk about is a natural lull in your energy in the afternoon and the importance of getting stuff done before noon and so on, and the ability to be effective for 10 or 12 hours a day. And that's in part based on physical conditioning. So I like the idea of being smarter about how we stay fit and how we use our bodies to carry around our brains all day. There's a phrase that you and I learned at the academy, mens sana in corpore sana, which is sound mind and sound body. Basically, your body is in part just a locomotive vehicle for your brain. And the vast majority of your value to the world is carried around in your brain. But look, even though we live in the 21st century, our body's systems are essentially unchanged from when we were cavemen and women. You know, they spent time catching and preparing their food. They invented fire and wheels. They developed relationships in their communities. They spent time resting and relaxing. We can't concentrate and be effective for 10 or 12 hours straight without a significant amount of work to make that possible.
I can.
And for those of you who, oh, yeah, well, those of you who think you are probably just don't realize the extent to which your attention and your acuity has declined from 7 in the morning to 7 at night. No, you need a break, or put differently, we highly recommend you take a break. You don't need a break. You can work at 7 o'clock at night without a lunch break and work straight through and so on. You're just not nearly as effective as you think you are. During the morning, you know, walking to get a cup of coffee, walking to the printer, the photocopier, you know, gives your mind a few minutes to wander away from the problems you're dealing with. Hopefully allow it to do that. Not everybody does. Coming back to things gives you a fresh perspective. Your mind is not a muscle, but it's like a muscle in the sense that it can't just be held contracted indefinitely and do okay. So 10 to 12 hours is really too long to believe that you can be performing at a high level. Now, many of you say, well, Mark, I'm already doing it. And I'm just going to say it again, that you're not performing at as high a level at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock at night as you think you are. I've said many times before at conferences and on air, we have videotape of managers between 5 and 7 in the afternoon. It's not pretty. I think I read recently someone say part of the problem with staying later at work is the really comforting relief valve it gives you, only to steal it back from you when you don't get anything done between 5 and 7. Same thing's true for taking work home as well. You need to relax a little bit, to uncontract the muscle of your mind a little bit, not for an hour. Doesn't have to be an hour and a half. You don't need yoga for 2 hours. Although if you want to do that and you can, that's fine. As long as you're getting your work done, as long as your responsibilities are getting handled. But 10 or 12 hours without any kind of break is not effective for those last couple of hours at work. Now, look, let me go further. Let me push a little bit more here. Not because anybody will like it, but because I think it's important.
When did that ever stop you, right? So go ahead.
Yeah. Please, folks, don't tell yourself you don't have time. By taking a break in the middle of the day, you become more effective in the times toward the end of the day and outside of your day as well. If your calendar is back-to-back full of meetings, you probably aren't focusing on your priorities. You aren't saying no often enough. You aren't effective in those meetings that you're going to, particularly late in the day, and you aren't practicing effective calendar management. You're probably working on too many things, thus the not saying no, and you're mistaking activity for accomplishment. And when we say accomplishment, we mean getting the right things done. Part of the reason you don't have time is that you're not getting the important stuff done, putting it off between 5 and 7, and then not having the energy between 5 and 7 in order to be effective at it. So you do have time. The only way you'll know that is to schedule some time or start doing it and discover, hey, I still am going home at the same time. I don't feel like I'm dropping more balls, but I'm taking 30 minutes or 45 minutes to eat lunch. Apparently, you did have the time, and probably you're being more effective between 3 and 6 in the afternoon. We said earlier about what if your boss eats at a certain time? We might as well answer that now because I know some people are wondering. I know some people eat at a different time as their boss, and that way they, one person said, it's kind of quiet while he's gone, and then I enforce the quiet while I'm gone, so I have a really long break in the middle of the day. We don't recommend that. Generally, if your boss eats at a certain time, we recommend you eat at the same time. If you eat after your boss, we found that a lot of bosses feel like you're unavailable, and you're unavailable to them for a long time during the middle of the day, right? It's like, hey, I'm gone for an hour, you're gone for an hour, suddenly it's 2 hours in the middle of the day. Even if it's only 45 minutes each, they're going to feel like you were gone for 2 hours in the middle of the day.
That's total crap, right? That your boss thinks that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that your boss thinks that way is, it's useful to know that. And not useful for her to think that way.
Yeah. It's stupid, but it's real. So we embrace reality here. Yeah. And look, your boss will interrupt you less while she's at lunch. Okay. And that makes your lunch somewhat less risky. And look, you're available to go to lunch if your boss wants you to go to lunch with her. Okay. Maybe she never asks, and that's fine. But our first point still holds that you don't want to have that long a break without connectivity with your boss, generally speaking, in your boss's mind throughout the day. What we've learned is that working while your boss is at work, followed by taking lunch at your desk when your boss gets back, for most people is really ineffective. That's what a lot of people do. They say, well, my boss is gone, I'm going to try to get a bunch of stuff done. And then when she comes back or when he comes back, I'm going to eat something really fast at my desk. You don't get as much done as you'd like. You're not as sharp at 6 p.m., until which you have to stay probably anyway. And your lunch isn't a break. So we don't recommend that.
What about where? Where should I have breaks? I mean, a lot of folks, they have lunch or they take their break at their desk. I'm there if my boss calls me. I'm there if somebody needs to get something done. You know, while I'm eating, I can look at email and make sure I don't miss something important or miss an important phone call.
Yeah, there are people who say I can take a break at my desk. And to some degree, they're right. You don't necessarily need to physically leave, at least from the standpoint of thinking of your brain as relaxing it. You don't have to physically leave in order to take a break. The problem is almost no one can do that. So we recommend you get up and walk away from your desk. I just read something recently about relaxation and energy management, and it said that taking a break is important. It wasn't talking specifically about lunch, although they did mention it relative to lunch. But they also said people who walked down a city street for 30 minutes in the middle of the day did not get nearly as much out of it as people who walked in a peaceful, nature-like environment because of all the distractions, because of all the things you had to think about, because your brain had to stay fairly active to keep yourself safe while it was walking down the city, a busy city street. So sitting at your desk or staying at your desk and taking a, quote, break from work, but lightly being involved is not a break at all. Your brain is still processing and you're still wearing that muscle out that will affect you at the end of the day. It may not affect you at 2 o'clock, but it will affect you at 6 o'clock. Even if you're a fit person, and we don't mean to suggest that fit people don't need to listen to us, because if you're a fit person, you might have an extra half an hour or an hour of energy, but you may not have enough to last 11 or 12 hours a day, particularly in some of the high stress jobs that we hear people talking about all the time. So you do need to get up and walk away. If you sit at your desk and do email, you're being distracted. You're not getting the break that you think you are. Going to some websites that you like and seeing things and sort of laughing and chuckling and feeling like maybe I don't have to do email for 30 minutes. Same thing. You're distracting yourself, but you're really not taking a break. Now look, if you work at home, all you have to do is go into the next room and get away from your computer. In my head anyway, I feel like getting away from a desktop or a laptop computer is a huge part of this. If you can go to a break room or a cafeteria, that will do. If you want to maximize your break, definitely go outside, but be sensitive to the fact that being outside and going shopping might be a little bit helpful, but it's probably not going to be as helpful as really taking a break. Whatever you do, don't eat lunch at your desk every day and think that you're catching up or getting ahead or meeting a deadline. What you're doing is losing value at the end of your day, and you're not really getting as much done as you think you are. And frankly, it took me a couple of years to realize that I was trying to get stuff done at lunch. This was a long time ago. I was trying to get stuff done during lunch, and really, I couldn't get anything done because it required me working with other people, and everybody else was at various stages of taking lunch breaks. And if they're sitting at their desk, they don't want to say, no, I'm at lunch. And so you're interrupting them, and they're becoming their lunch break is less effective. And the same thing happens to you when you're sitting at your lunch, at your desk, and you're having a lunch break, and somebody comes up and says, I need your help on something. You're like, yeah, sure, I'll be happy to help. And then suddenly that break you thought you were taking, you're not taking anymore.
Yeah.
Now, look, we're not suggesting here you get a, quote, break from work, unquote. Enough people are mistakenly working through lunch, thinking that more hours mean more productivity, that things are happening. And look, yeah, some days, sometimes do matter, okay? But we are recommending you take a break from working, You can unfill your brain with the next item on your list, the next task, the next worry, the next interruption, the next calculation. This will make you more effective for the rest of the day. 30 minutes at your desk to eat and catch up is the classic case of Pennywise and Pound Foolish. You'll get back an hour in better productivity the rest of the day. Every day you take a break and get away from your desk. Your eyes have been focused 12 inches from your face for most of the morning if you've been looking at a computer screen. Going outside forces them to focus over a much longer distance and uses the muscles differently, prevents eye strain, prevents afternoon headaches. Your body, for most of us, has been sitting in one position all day, hunched over a keyboard for several hours. Standing up stretches the muscles, allows them to regain their proper shape. I know lots of people who say, I'm never going to be like that guy who's 50 who works with me, who's got a bad back and so on, and he's out of shape and so on. Well, you're going to end up like him if you behave like him for the next 20 years or 30 years.
Yeah, I said that 30 years ago, too.
Yeah. Having a break and eating lunch at our desk is better than no break at all. Having a break, eating lunch, and moving away from our desk is distinctly, significantly better. By the way, eating at your desk is covered in bacteria. I'm always amazed at the studies who show that the dirtiest spot in the office is not the cafeteria, which gets cleaned usually. Maybe if your microwave in the break room never gets cleaned, that may be dirtier. But at least it gets microwaved every day. So right. The bacteria may be dead. We're not terribly germophobic here at Carutals, but we do think it's sensible to eat lunch somewhere clean. And the fact is, some people are going to take offense at this. You don't look terribly professional eating at your desk. I know you think it makes you look efficient, but I know lots of younger people who look at their bosses and say, wow, she's important. She gets to take a lunch break. She gets to go somewhere and have lunch, or he gets to go somewhere and have lunch. Well, that looks professional and efficient too. So get up, leave your desk, go somewhere else to eat.
Okay, so is there a problem in terms of going away to lunch or going somewhere to lunch or going to cafeteria or leaving your desk and being available? Because that makes me feel a little uncomfortable that I'd be going at, let's say, 12:30 every day for 45 minutes and something comes up and I'm not available. And I suppose, yeah. I'm guessing that you would suggest that I treat my lunch break like any other meeting. Or is that not true? It's on my calendar scheduled and I treat it like an important meeting.
Yeah. You certainly can treat it like an important meeting and put it down as lunch, but our simple guidance is you need to be available. We do recommend you leave your desk, but it is modern times, and for all intents and purposes, you're still at work. So remember what I said earlier, a lunch break is not a break from work, but it can be a break from working. That sense of grinding your physical and mental capacities down so that at 4 o'clock during the day, you're done.
Yeah, that's an interesting distinction, though. I suspect that less people who listen to us feel that way. But I know in a lot of particular jobs, folks think that their lunchtime, the 45 minutes or that hour, is in fact not work. And if my boss comes to me during lunch, she has no right to do so because I'm not working.
Oh.
And that's yes, not our view, is. Right?
Yeah, that's not our view. You get to work and you're available all day until you go home. And look, I think you're right. Some people probably think that way. But then those are the people who complain about doing email at 10 o'clock at night, but do email at 10 o'clock at night and want credit for doing email at 10 o'clock at night. The world has sped up in the last 50 years since people took an hour for lunch. Everybody left the office. There is one company, I want to say it's a medical company. Their work day is from 8 until 4:48. And the reason for that is they take a 48-minute lunch break and everybody gets 48 minutes. That's a little unusual. But look, we recommend you be available. Yes, you are taking a break from working, but if your boss has a meltdown, you can't treat your lunch break like it's 2:30 in the morning and you're sorry, but you'd have to shower and get dressed and come into work and you can't make it before whatever deadline passes, right? So we want you to take your phone with you and we recommend you leave it on because if there's a meltdown, you want to know about it. And my recommendation is, yeah, sure, you can absolutely, and part of this is me embracing reality. You can check your email on your phone for stuff that's really urgent. But basically, the key here is have a much higher standard for what you will allow to distract you from your scheduled distraction, if you will, which is your break from working, if you will, your lunchtime. And the problem with this is I feel like it's hard to make a specific recommendation here because the barrier that most people have to allow themselves to be distracted is a hair. If their phone buzzes, they reach for it. In fact, for most people, if they don't know where their phone is, they start patting their pockets. And that's a behavioral issue. The whole issue with being distracted or interrupted by our smartphones is not the technology. It is the behavior. And you can have your phone with you and not pay any attention to it at all. So what we're suggesting is you raise the standard so that you get more uninterrupted time. Doesn't have to be a whole hour, but so raise your standard so you get more uninterrupted time than what you would give yourself if you were sitting at your desk and your phone buzzed while it was on your desk. Some simple things that I know work for me and for others that I've coached. Folks, don't put your phone on the table while you eat. You're going to check everything when your phone buzzes. I know lots of people, the first time they get a phone when they're young, they think it's cool to get buzzed every time they get an email. And buzzes, oh, I'm busy. I'm so busy.
They'll outgrow that.
Yeah. So I think that's the biggest mistake you can make, leaving it on the desk. Oh, I don't want it in my pocket. It's uncomfortable in my pocket or whatever. No, it doesn't go on the table. Doesn't go wherever you're eating. Put it in a pocket that isn't tight against you. If you're wearing jeans or something, you know, don't put it in your jeans pocket and then have to reach in every 30 seconds because you still haven't changed your behavior. Put it in a suit coat pocket if you have a suit coat that it's not as obvious. I could tell you to turn off the vibrator, the ringer thing, but, you know, I told somebody to turn the ringer off once and somebody chuckled. This is years ago and chuckled and said, Mark, nobody has the ringer on ever. It's always just buzzing. And ladies, you could put it in your purse. Again, it's away from your body. Now, look, can you turn off your phone? Yeah, you can. Many of us have lowered our standards upon what to act on. We'd recommend that if we thought everybody would try it just to get you really to get a break and for you to discover there isn't a meltdown every day. But yeah, you can do it. But I'm not going to recommend it because too many people will say, geez, he's not in touch with reality. But keeping the phone off the table, putting it in a pocket away from you, if you can turn off the vibration easily, that's great. But if you're getting an email, there are very few workplaces in the world that I know of that if it really truly is urgent, that if you don't respond to an email in 5 minutes, that they won't call you. They're going to call you if it's urgent. Yes, the email said it was urgent. Yes, you have an email culture. Yes, that means you should reply. But there are times when you don't, when you're in your one-on-one with your boss, hopefully, or when you're one-on-one with a direct if you're a boss. And the world gets by just fine without you for 30 minutes. It can do that during your lunch break. Another way to look at it, I coached one guy once who had the always available mentality. He couldn't get away ever from work.
So he didn't sleep, I assume. Oh, he did sleep. Okay.
No, he did. Yeah, he slept. It's funny, but that didn't occur to him as that was a choice he was making. Well, I have to sleep, so therefore I'm not available when I sleep. It's like, okay, yeah, but dude, that's a choice. But anyway, he had an admin, so I told him to say to the admin, only call me if it's really important. And the admin asked, how will I know what's important? Right. And the reason why is because the executive never offloaded anything to her. And I told him to tell the admin, whatever you think is important, I'll think is important. When we're wrong, we'll adjust, we'll recalibrate. And that was the solution to allow this executive to start getting time to decompress a little bit so that the afternoon experience on the early evening for this person would be okay. Look, folks, you're going to be wrong with whatever heuristic or rule of thumb you use regarding what's important and what's not important, what can interrupt your lunch and not. We know you're checking your phone too often, unless you're a very rare exception, and I haven't seen one lately. And look, there is a fine line here. You'll do better with a break in the middle of the day. There's no question about it. But it doesn't do us any good to carry our inefficient and ineffective habit of interrupting ourselves constantly during our break when we're supposed to be leaving our desk to replenish ourselves. And by the way, you are interrupting yourself. Remember that. You're not getting interrupted. You're choosing to interrupt yourself. 45 minutes away, or 30 minutes if you don't think you can handle 45, away from email on your phone isn't going to kill you. On the other hand, working constantly all day, eating poorly, not working out, not being healthy and fit may not kill you, but it will kill you earlier than handling yourself smarter now.
Thanks, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you here back next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.